Welcome to the Pray Together podcast. Today we're going to hear from Jeannie Waters, who is a Southern author, blogger, speaker, and storyteller who shares biblical truth and heartfelt encouragement. Jeannie and her husband live in an historic Georgia city and enjoy 5 grandchildren. Jeannie's new 40-day devotional is A Place at His Table, God's Daily Gifts to Satisfy Your Heart. In this book, she invites readers to pull up a chair to God's table and enjoy conversation with Him through prayer. The book features Southern table stories which lead to Bible passages and illustrates some of God's blessings. Welcome, Jeannie. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm excited about this.
So tell us a little bit about your book and how you got started with it.
Well, several years ago, Lynn, during a study of Psalm 23 at our church, God used verse 5 to teach me what He wanted me to know in a different way, a deeper way, about His provision. And in Psalm 23:5, David said to God, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And of course, I'm glad we don't have physical enemies chasing us with intent to kill like David did, but we do have spiritual enemies. And through this study, I realized there's no need to allow fear and doubt and worry and insecurity to overwhelm us, because when we go to God's table in prayer, we find all we need. And it made another verse, very familiar verse, come alive to me, Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So I knew that He supplied our needs. He promises that. He's very faithful. He doesn't say all of our wants, of course. He never promises to fulfill our wish list because He's a wise Father. But He does give us all we need and so much more. So when I was in that study, He led me to write this book as table memories just started flooding my mind. And He wanted me to continue for me to learn and to help readers learn that we don't have to live letting worry and fear and doubt and all of their evil pals overwhelm us, but we can trust God.
I understand each devotion starts with a table story.
Yes, it does. And that's been fun to think about and to write and to share. And they're not all dining room table scenarios, Lynn. There's one at a picnic table. There's one where a rock actually becomes a table, a huge river rock right in the middle of the river. And there are hospital tables and a tea room table. There's a variety. But in each one, the story leads into a Bible passage or truth. And then it illustrates one of the many gifts God gives us.
What kinds of gifts?
Well, they're a variety too. I had a hard time limiting because His gifts are so numerous. Right. And I could only pick 40 for this devotion. But some that I included are the gift of forgiveness, the gift of His salvation, refreshment. We need that sometimes. And He refreshes our soul. And then He gives us help in trials. And He gives us joy and comfort and even laughter. So those are just a few examples of the gifts that are illustrated in the book.
What makes the devotion about prayer in your book humorous? And how did you use the story to write more about prayer?
Well, we've had fun with that devotion. My family's had a fun time remembering it. And so here's what happened. Our family of four was visiting friends in Germany. And the first night in the country, we were gathered around a table. It was in a restaurant. And we so hoped there would be English translations on the menu or maybe a server who spoke some English, but we found neither. And our German was limited to words like yes, no, thank you. Where's the restroom? I think we could count 1 to 10 in German, but this was not helping us decipher the menu. So from the server's voice inflections, we could tell she was asking a question. And, you know, many times when we don't understand another language, we just nod and smile. So that's what we did. She left and came back with 4 glasses of water. So we thought, all right, so far, so good. And then she stood there with a pad and a pen in her hand, looking at us. So I thought, oh my, what are we going to order? And I glanced down again and I saw something familiar, Wiener Schnitzel. So I said, I'll have Wiener Schnitzel. And my daughter said, we'll have Wiener Schnitzel too. And then, as I like to say, my husband and his best German said, I'll have Wiener Schnitzel. And we just started laughing. And then our son ordered the same. So we were not communicating. Communication with God is so easy, but with people, sometimes it's not. And then we faced another communication issue at a German bakery. And I was sort of proud that I had learned how to count in German, so I wanted to use that to order. So I pointed to one of those delicacies in the glass case, and I said in German, "Ein," and I held up my index finger to indicate I wanted one. The baker gave me two. And so again, I said, "Ein," and I pointed with my index finger, and she put two in the box again. Even though I said "Ein" again, she continued to put two in the box. And so the fourth time that happened, I'm adding up in my head, how much is this going to cost? I wanted one of each and I'm getting two of each. Well, I noticed our children were laughing behind me. And my son finally explained, "Mom, the Germans use their thumb for one and their index finger for two." So I was actually holding up my index finger, but my thumb was extended. So the baker understood my gesture, not my German and Southern pronunciation of "Ein." So we spent a lot of money on pastries that day. And in the devotion, I pointed out that sometimes communication is hard, even when we speak the same language. For example, an English speaker talking to another English speaker. We have preconceived notions when we listen to someone else. Or sometimes there are unique speech patterns that can skew a listener's understanding. But I'm thankful that speaking with God is different, because He gives us the gift of prayer as a means of two-way communication with Him. So there's no language barrier or misunderstanding in our conversations with our Heavenly Father. He comprehends our thoughts and even our emotions. So we can just speak with Him in simple words. And I think He understands our hearts, even when words won't come. And we need to remember that once we surrender our lives to Christ, God adopts us as children, and He welcomes us to talk with Him. So we don't have to have a practiced verbal pattern or like a menu of scholarly words, because no matter what language we speak or which words we choose to use, God understands the language of our hearts, because we're speaking with the words of a child speaking to our Heavenly Father. So, Lynn, that's how a humorous story led me to write the devotion about the values of prayer.
So what can we learn about prayer from Scripture?
Well, there's so much. When I started researching prayer in the Bible before I wrote this devotion, I knew there was a lot of content about prayer, but I was amazed at how much I found. So Psalm 17:6, I especially enjoyed learning more about. And that's when the psalmist said to God, "I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words." So that said to me, God always hears. Of course, we know that. And He understands with perfection our imperfect prayers. And unfortunately, sometimes there are earthly parents who, because of situations or their personality, they may remain distant from their children or may feel like they're too busy to even listen. But God urges His children to come to Him. And He said in Jeremiah 29, verses 12 and 13, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So that really encouraged me as I was studying those scriptures and all the examples of Jesus praying to His Father in Scripture. So I think the more we read and understand Scripture, the more it changes our prayer life.
So as you were seeking these verses and learning more about how prayer is mentioned in Scriptures, do you have some practical tips about prayer to share with us?
I do, Lynn. I would love to do that because we're all constantly learning more and more about who God is and about the practice of prayer.
Right.
So my first tip would be one that someone shared with me when I was a new believer in Christ as a 17-year-old. And that is to always pray before you read. And especially when we're in a hurry, it's easy to just pick up our Bible and start reading, hoping we will get what we need. But when we ask God to show us, He honors that. And when we read a passage or a chapter or even a single verse, if we're thinking about what are we learning more about who God is, more of His characteristics, and we understand more about who we're talking to, and then I think we can enjoy times of prayer even more. So that would be the first tip, to pray before you study. And then the second one has helped me so many times, and that is to keep a notepad and pen beside you when you pray. Well, sometimes when we pray and those thoughts keep popping into our mind, they're so distracting. And I know in the past, and sometimes even now, I have those little thoughts that interrupt me, like, oh, I forgot to take the meat out to thaw for dinner tonight. Or I should have made that call already. Or maybe the washer stops and I need to hurry and put clothes in the dryer. Or I think about a work issue or one of a multitude of thoughts that can interrupt my prayer time. But if we jot them down to remember later, we can continue our conversation with God. So that's been a helpful tip for me. And a third one comes from a special section that is added to each devotion in my book. Each one has an accompanying table tip, and it could be a recipe, a simple centerpiece suggestion, or a celebration idea. But the table tip that accompanies the devotion on prayer is titled Before, During, and After Mealtime Prayers. So I'm suggesting that during the meal prep, you use that time to pray for yourself, your own needs, for your family, for your friends. And even if family members are with you, you can pray together. That's an effective way to set an example for children, even if they're there in and out of the kitchen while you're preparing food. And then another way would be when you pull up your chair to the table to thank God for His blessings. And Christians are practiced at doing that, but we can thank Him not only for our food, but for other blessings like family, for weather, whatever it might be, whether it suits us or not, we can thank God for His wisdom in sending it. And we can certainly thank Him for the gift of prayer or for help with something difficult a family member has faced and other blessings. And then, of course, we can share our request with Him. And then lastly, while you're cleaning the kitchen, extend that prayer time and pray for your church, for neighbors, co-workers, acquaintances, and maybe you've met someone or know someone who doesn't know Christ. So you might use that time to pray for them, that God would give you an opportunity to share your walk with Christ. And the last tip I'll share that has helped me so much comes from a section in my book called Embracing the Gift. And each devotion has a section like this to help us think further and maybe more deeply about our gift that God has given us. So in the devotion with prayer, I'm suggesting that we organize our prayer request in a binder. It could be a large binder that holds an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, or mine is a smaller one than that. And I have dividers for specific people and needs to remind me. You know, often we tell someone, yes, I'll be praying for you. And in the rush of life, it's easy to forget, and we don't want to. So I try to remember to put those requests in my binder. So you might set up a divider for family or friends or for your church and other ministries, and also for your own needs, because God tells us to bring our needs to Him. And then when we study the Bible, we can write verses in that binder that help us pray. It's really amazing to weave verses of Scripture into our prayers. Those are God's words, after all. And so we can do that. And then I like to do this too, Lynn, as a follow-up, to send a note or a text to someone and put a verse that we've been praying for them. So I might say, Lynn, I know you have a trial in your life right now, or you've asked me to pray about this. Here's a verse of scripture. I'm praying for you. So that's another way the binder could be a help. So I hope some of those tips will help some of the listeners today.
Jeannie, share with us how prayer helps us live in a way that honors God.
Oh, that's really exciting to even think about, because we want to honor Him with our life. Well, for one, I think about how we praise God. We often rush into our prayer time with our needs, and that's okay. He tells us to bring our needs, as we said earlier, but we also need to take time to praise God for who He is, to worship Him. That's a time, aside from our church worship, that we can worship Him and praise Him for His mercy, for His faithfulness, and just for who He is. And then also we can honor Him when gratitude for His blessings and who He is in our lives fill our hearts. We can pour out words of thanksgiving to Him. And around the Thanksgiving holidays, we think about that. But at all times of year, we need to give thanks to Him in prayer. And then in the privacy of a conversation with our Father, with no one else listening, we can confess our sins and know that He forgives us. And we can ask Him, Father, change me, transform me, like Romans teaches us He will do, and make us more like Jesus. And then we can leave that worry and doubt. When we pull up a chair to God's table, so to speak, in prayer, we can leave that worry and doubt and receive into our hearts and minds the peace and the faith and the comfort and all of the blessings that He wants to give us. And also, that prayer time is joyful. We can rejoice in the fact that we have God's forgiveness and His acceptance and His unconditional love. Because to me, prayer is part of our relationship with God. So even though others may remain distant or busy, too busy to listen, God urges us to come to Him. So I think prayer is a perfect way for us to honor Him with our lives.
How do you find that prayer helps us relate to other people?
Oh, I love talking about that, Lynn, and learning more about it in my own life. So in my book, I talk about prayer as like pulling up your chair to a table for two, just you and God. But I also include some information about hospitality, which the Bible tells us to share with other people. But we've often heard this: before we can give, we need to receive. We can't give what we don't have. So it's very difficult for me to give wise biblical advice, perhaps, to someone, or to share comfort or unconditional love with another person if I'm not receiving that from God. So before we can be a blessing with others, we need to spend time with Him in Bible study and prayer. And when we do that, we can embrace His gifts, like His comfort and His grace and so much else. And then we have something in our heart and on our table to share with other people. So He invites us to pull up that chair to His table. David referred to God as a host after he talked about Him as a shepherd in Psalm 23. And he reminded us He prepares that table so we can enjoy His presence as we feast at that table.
Wow, that table is a great image for talking. We talk at the table, we converse, we're fed, we're nourished and sustained, our thirst and hunger are taken care of. So
yes,
what a great metaphor for prayer. Any last thoughts?
Well, I would just encourage listeners, as I keep encouraging myself, to think of prayer as a gift from God. And of course, the greatest gift is His presence. When we have a time of prayer, we're enjoying the presence of God. And then we can use that time to praise Him and thank Him, to ask for help for ourselves and others. and then to see his guidance for the day. I mean, sometimes we're facing a decision. Maybe it needs to be made that day, and we can ask him for wisdom. Or maybe we're going to interface with a person who tries our patience, because we are human after all. And right. So we can ask God to give us patience or forgiveness or comfort, whatever we need. And then we can use that time of prayer to leave with him, leave at his table, the worry and anxiety and fear and all of those, and then leave with the assurance that we are his child and we can enjoy time with him. And I think morning is such a perfect time to pray, because it sets the tone for the day, even if we have limited time. Sometimes our steering wheel becomes an altar on the way to work. We have to focus on the traffic too. But when we start our morning with prayer, it sets the tone for the day, and then we can have an ongoing conversation with God throughout the day.
Jeannie, thank you so much. Your book, A Place at His Table, God's Daily Gifts to Satisfy Your Heart, I imagine is available at most major booksellers, and folks can check that out. Would you end us with prayer?
I would be happy to. Thank you so much for having me. Father God, we do thank you for the gift of prayer, and we praise you for who you are, that you are a loving Heavenly Father who invites us every day to come to you with the gift of prayer. And Father, I pray for all of us participating and listening to this podcast today, that you would enrich our prayer life and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.